Twins and Rockies from Coors Field in Denver coming up. And in a moment, we'll visit with Phil Miller, who covers the team for the Star Tribune in the Writer's Corner. We'll have a look at the Major League scores and standings and a sneak peek at the lineup as the Twins get ready for Game 2 of the three-game set. Other sports headlines, bright and early tomorrow morning, final round of the Open Championship at Royal Portrush, and Scottie Scheffler, a four-shot lead heading into the final round of the final major of the year. Hao Tong Lee is all alone in second at 10 under par. Matt Fitzpatrick at minus 9. Rory McIlroy leading a group at 8 under par. Xander Schauffele at minus 7. But Scotty all alone, 4 in front. He's had the lead going into the final round of a major 3 times. He's won them all. And Scotty by 4 going into the final round tomorrow. WNBA All-Star Game tonight in Indy. And the Loons play late at Providence Park in Portland. The Loons got beat by LAFC at Allianz Field on Wednesday night. The final 1-0. And, oh, by the way, the Vikings open training camp next week. And there will be breathless coverage of every move the players make until the start of the regular season in September. So buckle up. NFL season starts this week, and it will be relentless until early February and the Super Bowl. It's funny how that goes. But once again, Viking training camp at TCO Performance Center in Eagan. And I know a lot of people that love it and make plans to go out there. And I guess I've never understood that. I just say, so you're going out to watch football practice? Okay. Enjoy. Twins and Rockies, Game 2 of the three-game set, Coors Field in Denver. Phil Miller joins us from the Star Tribune. Phil, you've been putting on the miles as of late.
Yeah, no kidding. Houston, Detroit, Miami, Atlanta, Denver. We're on our way to Los Angeles now. Remember when the Twins played home games?
Yeah. They get the Nats at Target Field, rumor is, next weekend.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. They're on the stretch of they're playing all three National League last place teams with the Dodgers wedged in among them. So, you know, it for a team that is hoping, trying to get back in the race, you would think this is where they should be taking advantage of it. But they took two out of three from the Pirates and now start with a loss here. I think they were a little discouraged by last night's result.
It had to be a relief, though, Phil, going from the humidity of Atlanta to dew points in the 40s in Denver. It's still a warm day, but the humidity has dropped a bit.
Atlanta, well, Miami was worse the week before that, but yeah, Atlanta was just sweltering and muggy, and it's one of those, seems like it happens every year. It was so hot outside that you crank the air conditioning inside, and I wake up in the morning with a cold, which I am still fighting here in Denver. But you're right. I lived in Utah for 25 years, and wow, it's nice to be back in a place with no humidity.
Yeah, and L.A. is known to be, even though it's right along the ocean, it isn't particularly humid as well. And I prefer that. I loved, and I think I've told you this, when my youngest daughter went to school in Tucson, Arizona, it was like, I really like that. I like that a lot better than Florida and the humidity, that's for sure.
Yeah, and it was, I mean, yeah, we did Houston, Detroit, Miami in order, and then the All-Star game. It has been a tour of way too hot weather.
Right. Phil, Twins fall last night.
I was going to say, not helped by the fact that I was stranded by a canceled flight in both Houston and Miami, extending my stays both places. So it's been quite a season.
Yeah, planes, trains, and automobiles. That's yes. for sure. Phil, first off, not the start they had hoped for. Chris Paddock got roughed up early, hung in there. Twins tried to rally in his Rocco Baldelli postgame. You know, they hit balls hard, but it just wasn't their night, and the hole they dug early, they couldn't get out of.
Yeah, that is. I think the Twins learned a couple of things last night. One, don't look at the Rockies' record. That's a lot better lineup than you probably would think of a 23-win team at this point of the season. They were, they knew it coming in, but boy, the Rockies proved it. And there was a lot of talk before the game about the large outfield. Byron Buxton had never played here. Willie Castro had never played here, and that. You have to be ready for the deeper, larger outfield. And so what happened, the very first three batters in the Rockies' order hit long line drives into right center field, right between Castro and Buxton, and proved how big that outfield is, because even Byron Buxton couldn't make a catch on any of them. So it went south fast. The Twins do feel like they hit in a lot of bad luck. You know, they had two men on in the first inning, and Ty France hit a rocket right at the third baseman. They probably score a couple runs there, and maybe the game is more competitive. It did feel like when they fell behind 5-0 that it was going to be a long night.
Yeah, and I've heard this about Coors Field in Denver, even though they're 34 games out of first place here in the middle of July. It's still a draw. People show up at Coors Field.
And a lot of more Twins fans, I have to say. Yeah. The turnout when Willie Castro homered late in the game, the seventh inning, I think, there were a lot of Twins fans cheering. I was impressed by that. And, we were in, like I say, we were in Miami 2 weeks ago. And nobody goes to those games. It was like the pandemic, and we could hear the players on the field. They drew 25,000 total for a three-game series. Here, there were 37,000 last night. They're going to have an equally big crowd tonight. It really is amazing how Rockies fans hang in with the team, even going through the year that they are having it. But it's a great place to visit. Like I say, I lived in this time zone for 25 years and came to my share of Rockies games over the years. In fact, until I got the Twins job and moved to Minnesota, I was at every Colorado Rockies home opener in their existence. So it's a great park and a great fan base here.
It has certainly aged well. Tough on pitchers for sure. I did want to bring up Byron Buxton in his year. Home run derby, all-star game, had the double, 1-for-2, run scored, AL battle back. They lose in the swing-off. But at this moment, Byron Buxton had a good Friday night, hit a home run in the game last night. He is having an outstanding year, and no matter what happens, I think Twins fans should savor that a bit. He's been really good.
I'll tell you, he is savoring it. The fun part for those that are around him, and that it's my job to talk to him. He is just in such a great mood. Even after the bowing out in the semifinals of the home run derby, he was just sky high with how much fun it was. What a great memory it'll be for him and his kids. And he is really savoring this healthy season that he's had. The first one, he says it just makes him realize how constant the injury worry was. Even when he wasn't out, he was always worried. And I can tell you that still happens. He dove for a ball last night and took a minute to get up. And, you keep your binoculars trained on him because of that history. But he is enjoying it, and the Twins fans should enjoy the season and dream about what could have been had he been healthy the whole time.
Phil Miller joining us, Twins beat writer for the Star Tribune, and joining us from Coors Field in Denver, Twins and Rock. He's game two of the three-game set. First pitch, 7:10. Tomorrow at the end, getaway day. We'll begin with inside Twins at 1, lineup card at 1:30, first pitch at 2:10 Central Time, and then it's on to L.A. for a couple of late games, and then a matinee in L.A. before they return home to take on the Nats next weekend. Zebby Matthews is back, and he's in a key spot right now. They need to get some good starts out of Zebby.
Yeah, it was interesting that how much they trust him. Rocco said before the game, he only got one rehab start, and we asked him, did how well that go dictate that you brought him back so quick? And he said, no, that was the plan all along. We really like Zebby, and he's healthy again, and everything did go well in St. Paul, and so they're pretty excited to have him back. You know, they've been playing a starting pitcher short for a couple of weeks now, and I think the bullpen games they were forced to use didn't cost them that much, but they're happy to have a fifth starter again. So we'll see how he does tonight.
And then, once again, fingers crossed on Bailey Ober as he continues to work his way back.
Yeah, he made a rehab start last night. He looked good. He felt good. Rocco Baldelli said that the soreness that he was dealing with has dissipated now. He seems healthy. I do think there's a little concern because he did not the velocity that he had lost seems to have not returned yet. He was still only pitching about 90 miles an hour with his fastball. They want to see that up to 90 and just, you know, 92. He's not a hard thrower, but he needs, when you're not a hard thrower, you need every mile per hour you can get. And so I think he'll probably make another rehab start or two while they pay attention to how, you know, if he's able to recover the velocity that he's lost.
Yeah, and it is a big deal for major league hitters. The greater the distance between the fastball and an off-speed pitch, no matter how much movement is on that off-speed pitch, is huge. So even a mile or two an hour is a big deal.
Yeah, that's exactly it. If your fastball is 90 miles an hour, your changeup has to be like 80 miles an hour in order to fool a hitter, but if it's going 80 miles an hour, the hitter has time to adjust and hit it. So, yeah, it does affect more than the fastball, and they are paying close attention to that. And I don't know this, but I think they still are a little puzzled by what's happened to that velocity. I know Bailey Ober thinks he's messed up his mechanics a little bit, so I know they're working hard on that.
Yeah. Once again, Twins and Rockies tonight in game two of the three-game set. Well, Phil, are you going to get a break? I know the Twins come home, and then do you get a little time off?
A very little. It's a long stretch for a happy reason. My partner in covering the Twins, Bobby Nightingale, his wife gave birth to their second child on the 1st of July, a little baby boy. So he is taking a month off to help his wife and daughter and new baby son. And he'll be back, not soon enough, but he'll be back sometime later this month. I do have a break coming up. Thanks for asking.
Yeah, and Bobby's such a great guy, and hope all is well with his growing family for sure. Phil, thank you for the time. Enjoy the low humidity in Denver.
I will enjoy it here and in L.A. and and steal myself from coming home. So thanks, Steve. It's good talking to you.
All right, there he is. Phil Miller covers the team for the Star Tribune and joining us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline, and so generous with his time here on the Writer's Corner on Saturdays. And when Bobby's available, we'll get him back. We have a spot always for Dan Hayes of The Athletic and the other writers that follow the club all year long. Matthew Leach, who now is on the beat for MLB.com, joined us a week ago here on the show. When we come back, quick update on the standings, run down the Major League scores, And have a sneak peek at the lineup. By the way, the lineup card gets started at 6:30. Zebby on the mound tonight for the Twins in Colorado. First pitch at 7:10 here on News Talk 830 WCCO.